Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Okay, let's pray and we'll get going here. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is our helper. He leads us and guides us into all truth. He brings all things to our remembrance that you've said to us, and he glorifies you. Lord, we desire, we expect to hear from you tonight. Lord, I just yield myself to you. I ask you to speak through me so that we may grow and develop in as disciples, as children of God, so that our relationship with you can be strengthened and go deeper, and so that we can be effective for your kingdom. And so we thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness to your word, that you watch over it, that you perform it. We're so grateful for so many things, but we thank you for the blood and body of Jesus and our salvation first and foremost. Lord, teach us tonight on prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so what we've looked at so far, we've gone over the 7 steps to answered prayer, part 1. And how this is going to work is, I figured out that there's no way I'm going to get through all this book in 7 weeks. There's just no way, because but we don't need to, because, you know, we're not going to shut the church down, so we got a lot of time, you know. what we'll do is we'll probably, after 7 weeks or so, we'll put this on pause. And then Brett's going to be doing a series on being led by the Holy Spirit. And then we'll pick back up. Because as I started looking, I don't know if you've kind of leafed through the book and got towards the back. And I mean, he talks about corporate prayer. He talks about, all sorts of different kinds of prayer that are mentioned in the Bible. And a lot of times what people think is, in churches and just in general, people think that prayer is just like this general thing that we do. But as you get into the scripture, you find out there's a whole bunch of different kinds of prayer. You'll also find out that worship as we know it is the highest form of prayer. So there's a lot in here. There's corporate prayer, there's individual prayer, there's the prayer of faith, there's the prayer of supplication, there's intercession, you could just go down the list. There's a lot. And so we can't cover it all, but this will be a good start, and we'll get going in a direction. And you can only eat an elephant one bite at a time. So, but eventually, if you keep at it, you'll eat the whole elephant. So, but anyway, I just want to let you know that so you're aware of what's going to happen. So we've looked at be specific and stand on God's promises. That was the first point that we looked at as far as 7 steps to answer prayer. And I'm just reviewing. Secondly, we looked at you must ask God for what you want. Third, we looked at be positive in your thinking. And don't let that thought or that truth be too simple. Because your mind has tremendous ability to imagine things that will never happen on the worry side. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever had a thought or a fear or a worry and you imagined it and it just never happened, but it was like it was a part of you? You know, it felt like it's going to happen at any second, you know, and it just never did. And most thoughts, worries, fears, whatever you want to say, are that way. And you got to ask yourself the question, why is fear such a motivator in the earth? And why did God or Jesus talk so much about faith? There's a reason. And if you look at the life of Jesus and how much he dealt with faith and fear, you'll begin to realize, oh, essentially, it's the two spiritual forces that operate in the earth. And one is of the enemy, and one is of God. And I know we talk about the fear of God, but that's a different kind of fear. I'm talking about a dread, a destroying, a terror. When I was younger, or I had friends as well, but we would watch horror movies. But why would you pay money to watch a 3-hour vision from hell? It doesn't make any sense. Okay. I mean, people still do it. I know. It's crazy. But what? Where are those? Where do those? Because a movie is a thought process or an imagination that's put into acting and onto a screen. That's what it is. You know, or sometimes it's based on a true experience or whatever you want to say, which some of those things are just terrible. But where do those thoughts come from? And why are they even in a person? You know, especially in a world where everybody talks about how we need to love one another and be kind and, you know, everybody come together. Why can't we just love one another? Well, you'll never be able to love one another without the love of God. It's just impossible. You can't legislate love. Love is a born-again experience. Okay, you can't make someone love someone by a law. It doesn't work that way. You have to be born again. You have to have the Spirit of God within you. But anyway, so don't minimize what the potential of your mind, because it's got great potential. And so what he's teaching here is you put the Word in, the Word in, the Word in, the Word in. It transforms the way you think. It grabs hold of and takes hold with you, with your mind and your imagination, to where you're expecting and thinking about the things of God. Have you ever noticed that, you know, it's like people with that have dealt with like hypertension or high blood pressure, they'll say, you know, watch tropical fish because it calms you down. So you're telling me that I can look at something. It goes into my mind, I get that thought process in my mind, and then my body responds by dropping my blood pressure. And medical science goes, look what we figured out, and God's going, I had it all along. We have discovered, and God's going, no, I let you see it. That's the truth on all of those things. Be aware of that. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, meditation like the world says. You know, you're not getting in a lotus position and, you know, none of that. That's what the enemy takes, what God's principles and truths are, and then puts them into his twisted stuff and uses them. You know, the enemy does not create. He distorts what's there. That's what he does. He's not a creator. He can't create. All he does is twist things in knots. So, if you're wondering what that noise is, it's the heater along the floor, just so you know. It's the radiant heat or whatever it is, which I could do without, but we'll go on. They got that heater locked right there. I'm going to have to edit that whole section out of the recording. All right, so guard your mind was number four. Guard your mind. And we talked about this before, but you can control your mind. Your mind is your mind. Don't go around saying, I can't control what I think. Because the enemy is going to help you with that. If you're saying, I control my mind, I have the mind of Christ, I think on the Word of God, I decide what I want to think on, and you get resistance to that, that's a good thing, because the enemy is coming against what you're saying. You want that tension. Don't be concerned about tension in the sense of, well, the Bible says this, but as soon as I started acting on the Word of God, then I got this fight against me. Good job. You did the right thing. The enemy doesn't want you to take that ground, especially if he's had that area in your life for a long time. He doesn't want to give it up. But you've got to go in there and stake your claim, so to speak, and go, I ain't moving, you are, to the enemy. You know? And when you do that, man, I'm telling you, this is the thing. And I've been around so many groups. I've been around like Pentecostals, and I've been around evangelicals that are just more kind of straight laced. You know, every service is very ordered and structured. We do this at this time, and so with the Pentecostals, what you'll get is, if it didn't have a feeling with it, or if I didn't shake under the power of God, if I didn't have goosebumps and then a hot flash and a cold flash, and then God didn't really move. And then what you have with the straight-laced, strict, kind of ultra-conservative, if they didn't get like 42 scriptures to back up what they said, and it wasn't just everything perfectly from the Greek to the Hebrew to the, you know what I mean, then we really didn't get anything. And the answer is not that extreme or the other. It's actually kind of a combination of both. There's a balance. You should have experience with God. You should have just scriptures that you know that you're living by daily. But the best freedom is the one that you possess by seeing the Word, walking that out, and then just continuing to walk it out. The reason why is because you don't need anybody else to get it for you. Yep. You know, Brother Hagin used to say this to us, and of course his emphasis was strong on healing because of his background and what God had called him to do and what he went through and experienced. But he would tell us in class, he said, look, you can get healed in a service. You can have hands laid on you by a minister who maybe has a healing gift, a gift of healing, and be healed. He said, but the best way to get it is just go to the Word and stand on it for yourself and get it. Why? Because you got the Word with you wherever you go. You always have it. You don't need somebody else. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, that's not the only way, and there's the body of Christ should be there to help and to be a part no matter what. But you've got to have both. You can't just have one. And you'll experience the greatest levels of freedom when you learn how to fight the fight of faith and just stand on the Word. And when you're when it feels like everything's going to fall apart around you, you just kneel down in the middle, grab your scripture and go, thank you, Lord. This is what's happening. And usually it's darkest right before the dawn. Okay? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know? I mean, when you do that, you become the devil's worst nightmare. See, it's no longer you afraid, now he's afraid. Which is what you want. You want him on his heels. And you have the ability to do it. It's just that transformation of thinking from where I was to where I'm going to be. And it's the taking of the process of seeing yourself as the enemy versus as the enemy wants to see you versus how God sees you and who you are in Christ. When your mind goes from, oh, this is who I've been all these years, like for me, when I got saved, I had to have a transformation of thinking. I am not a pothead. I could always tell who the potheads were. Okay? I'm telling you, I had to believe that I could think well and process and put thoughts together and teach the Word of God. I had to believe God's made me smart. Because I didn't do well in school. And it wasn't because I couldn't, it was because I chose not to. And then you add to that stupid behavior, which destroys brain cells and increases your food intake. I'll connect with somebody sometime. Okay? But you understand what I'm saying? I had to change the way I thought. I had to come out of that way of thinking into a way of thinking that was in line with God's Word. And as I did that, I realized, oh, I don't need to be high. It's not necessary. I have a guy that I work with that was a meth dealer, okay? And he's in trouble. And he's slowly getting out of it because he's in probation. And he got busted real good a couple of times, and so he's in deep probation. I mean, his life is very regulated by law. And he was telling me, we were talking about it today, he said something about quitting smoking. I said, yeah, you need to quit smoking. You know, because, I mean, it's a good idea for your body, for your wallet, you know, all that stuff. Anyway, and he said, well, I'm trying, but I'm addicted to it. I said, come on, man. And then he says this to me right after that. Now, I know sometimes when I do that, people are like, oh, you're so insensitive. No, I believe the best of him. And I got to draw that out. So if I'm going to draw that out, I got to confront his way of thinking that says I can't. That's what Jesus did. Yeah. Peter walks on the water. What does Jesus say when he sinks? Why'd you doubt, Peter? He didn't say, good job, Peter. All the others stayed in the boat. You walked at least 10 feet. What's the first question he asks him? Why'd you doubt? Where's your faith, boy? In other words, what is Jesus saying? Now, we have a culture that says, well, Jesus is mean. No, Jesus believes in greatness. And he knows the potential of what he created. And so he goes to the point of, if we deal with this issue, you'll never sink on the water again. And so with him, he said to me, right after that, he said to me, I've quit about every hard drug there is in the last year. He quit meth. How tough is a cigarette? You know? I mean, I've never done meth. But I mean, I've seen the crazy commercials. You know? And they say it's very addictive. But if he quit it, what's a cigarette? It's nothing. And I just said, no. I said, you just need more of Jesus. We need to get your mind renewed. I'm trying. Trying never did it, brother. You got to get in and do it. There's got to be a fight in you to fight and to get where you need to be. And so anyway, that mentality will save you, and it gives God access. God is thrilled when you're standing in front of impossibilities and you go, and you quote Jesus. Nothing is impossible with God. God just goes, yes, they're with me. All things are possible to him that believes. It's hard though. I mean, we got this going on, this going on. You got to go, nope. We're going to do this right here. We're going to get it. We're going to get it for the glory of God and give glory to God in it and give glory to God after it. And we're going to see people saved, and out of our testimony, you see what I'm saying, of what God did in our lives. And all that is included in meditating on God's word, and being positive in your thinking, and guarding your mind, okay? Let's go to meditate God's promises. That's where we left off yesterday. Last Wednesday. It's where I left off yesterday. That's what I was studying. Last week we left off there. And I actually went through the fear scriptures, if you remember. Talk about protection. But I want to read this. Step number 5 to receiving answered prayer is meditate constantly on the promises upon which you base the answer to your prayer. Okay? So, in other words, you must see yourself in possession of what you've asked for and make plans accordingly as if it were already a reality. That's what faith is. That's what faith is right there. Okay? I'm on page 9 if you're looking in your book for where I'm at. But it says this, Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. Says this, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Man, think about that. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them. These words, attend. Let them not depart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them, and what? Health to all their flesh. So God's word is life and health. Now, life can include a lot of things. Life is peace in the sense of when God's words will give you the ability to make a decision you need to make so that your life is actually life. You know, there's a lot of people living, but they're not experiencing life. They're not content inside. They're not at peace inside. And why is that? Well, the Prince of Peace has to rule in order for you to have peace. He has to be able to rule. How does God rule in your life? Does he rule by an iron fist? The answer is no. He rules by you adjusting your will to his will. Yeah, but I've never done it that way before. And there's no wonder why there's no peace. Because you have to give him access in order to move in your life. So when chaos hits, what do you choose?
Do you choose the Prince of Peace, or do you choose...
I'm not talking about how you feel. We've all felt things in the middle of situations. I mean, how many have ever been in a situation where your fight or flight kicks in? Your adrenaline. What are you saying in that moment is more important than how you feel in that moment? Because you can get to the point where, like, Jesus is just sleeping in the boat and the boat's sinking. I'm not saying I'm there. But I'm saying that's what the example our Lord gave us. And so, and people go, well, why am I the other way? Probably because you lived and talked that way you were trained by your parents, and they were trained by their parents. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying it has to stay that way. I'm just saying that's why we have the issues that we do. We developed in a world, if we didn't know faith, or if we weren't taught about the things of God, you get developed that way, and then you're naturally given that way anyway because of the flesh, and then situations come, so it takes time to retrain and go the other way. And one of the main ways that happens is meditating on God's promises. Okay, so see yourself with the answer. He talks about it here. See yourself with the answer. Okay? He talks about his own personal testimony here. And I could go through it all, but I'm not gonna. Because it's a lot there. But go back and read it and look at it, and you'll see what he talks about in regards to faith and how he received from the Lord. And then, you know, maybe your situation isn't healing, maybe it's something else. But take the principle and apply it. Okay? If it's something else, like if it's the peace of God or you need more peace in your life as far as manifestation goes, go find the peace scriptures, meditate on the peace scriptures, declare the peace scriptures, think about the peace scriptures, and incorporate it into your conversation, incorporate it into your life, make adjustments in the way that you think and the way that you talk. And as you do, it will produce, those truths will come into everyday life for you. Just like Jesus did when you heard about him. He came into everyday life. Christianity doesn't just fall on you. You say, what do you mean by that? It'd be like if you sat underneath a ripe apple tree. And an apple got heavy enough and ripe. It just, you know, have you ever been around a tree that hasn't been harvested? And there's just apples everywhere. It just fell. You know, a lot of times people think God's in heaven and it's just gonna fall on me. It doesn't line up with what Jesus taught. He said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent what? Take it by force. You're not dealing with people that way, but you're dealing with the kingdom that way, the spiritual truths that way. When God says in his word, in 1 Peter and then in James, that you're to resist the devil and submit to God, does that sound like it just happens? No. Did Jesus just stand by in situations and go, okay, God, move. Just move. He didn't just like float around in this aimless wandering, just seeing if God was going to do something at some time. He knew God. He listened to God. He did what God told him to do. That's the example for us. It's the same thing. And that's not going to just come by accident. It has to come on purpose, okay? All right, let's go to step number 6. It says, continually thank God for the answer. I like this one. Step number 6 to receiving answered prayer is, in your every waking moment, think on the greatness of God and his goodness and count your blessings. This will increase your faith. Lift your heart to God continually in increasing praise and gratitude for what he has done and for what he is doing for you now. Okay? Not only for what he's done, but for what he's doing for you now. And then you could almost, I would add this in here, for what he's going to do. So that will help you stay focused Instead of, oh, man, it's 4 in the morning. It's 5:30 in the morning. You know, I heard a minister say this one time. He was talking, he was teaching out of the Old Testament, and he was talking about how the Israelites grumbled at God. They grumbled at God. The alarm goes off. Oh, grumble, grumble, grumble. You go look in the mirror. Oh, grumble, grumble, grumble. My hair won't do what it's supposed to do. Well, all you say is my hair won't do what it's supposed to do, so what can it do? It can only be... Oh, I'm late. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Complaining obviously is not thankfulness, but it's unbelief. It's unbelief. Because you're not... You say, why do you say that? Because you're not expecting the word to come. You're just looking at what you got going on. And faith is future tense. And if you didn't have one other promise other than God's going to take you to heaven when you die, that'd be enough to be thankful for. And as you become more thankful, it spills over into others, especially in your house. You know what I mean? And it being thankful increases expectation from God. Have you ever had just something small happen for you, but you're like, glory to God, thank you, Lord.
Right.
You know? I was listening to a minister one time, and he was, this gentleman was talking about some of the things that God had blessed him with. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm just thinking about what he's sharing. And I'm trying to wrap my head around the fact that God doesn't play favorites. That sometimes that can be a challenge, but it's the truth. He doesn't. We don't realize this, but we determine the level of relationship that we have with the Lord more than anything. Because we can pursue Him more or less. We can decide to follow Him more or less. The ball is in our court, in other words. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, Lord, what do I do with this? And just out of my heart, I just heard, why don't you thank me for what I've done for that person? Ding. Got it. So I just started, thank you, Lord, for that brother. Man, he's blessed. You blessed him. Thank you, Lord, for blessing him. I'm so thankful. And it wasn't like I was putting it on. I was like really excited for him. You know what I mean? I'm like, yes. But what does that do? All of a sudden, I felt myself shifting, going, if God will do it for one, He'll do it for another. Well, that's not fair. Oh, we're not functioning in fair, trust me. If we got what we deserved, we wouldn't be standing here. Or sitting here, as it were. So be thankful. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. With what?
Thanksgiving.
Lord, why is this happening? Why? No, that's not thanksgiving. In how many things? All. Everything. In the Greek, everything is everything. deep word. All encompassing. Everything, give thanks. Well, you say, we're going to give thanks for a bad situation? No, you're going to give thanks because the Lord is your deliverer. Lord, this would be terrible, but you split the Red Sea. So glory to God. When I come out, people are going to go, how did you do that? How are you so smart? And you just say, I'm not that smart. But God is. God, who's God? Let me tell you about Jesus. See, this is simple evangelism, but that's how it works. In everything, give thanks. The Amplified says this, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Now, we all could practice that verse. all week. I mean, just do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. About anything. Yeah, but I got this, anything. Well, how are we gonna, anything? Why? Because you've got God. Do you need anything else?
No.
Do you need anyone else? You got Him. So do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. As long as you fret and have anxiety, all the praying and fasting in the world isn't going to do you any good. Yeah. I stayed up all night and prayed. Like that picture, have you ever seen that picture? The lady that's like completely frazzled and she says, I've got one nerve left and you're on it. People think, I'm trusting God. No, you're not. Because if you were trusting God, you'd have peace. Why would you have peace? Because you know God's going to come through for you, even though you don't see it yet. That is faith. That's faith. What are we going to do? You're not going to do anything but believe God. God's going to do. And then He'll, if there's something He needs you to do, He'll just push on your heart and go do this. And you go, okay, I'm going to do that. And people will go, how did you know to do that? The Lord told me to do that.
What?
But see, here's the thing. People initially sometimes will go, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, I don't believe in God. But they'll look at your continued breakthrough and success and go, wait a minute. Even in the midst of what seemed like it was going to be all over, you came through. I mean, that's a testimony. And so it challenges what you have going on in day-to-day life where other people completely fall apart and you don't. Why? Because you've got God. You've got God. And God is enough. He's enough. All right. I love this right here. I want to share this testimony with you. This is an minister that was around during. I don't think he's alive anymore, but his name was Raymond T. Ritchie. It says this. This is a testimony. One time, there was a lady who went to Raymond T. Ritchie's revival, which was being held in that area. And he's talking about a particular area that they were in. She was in the healing line, and he told her to start praising God from that moment on that she was healed. So she was in a healing line. He came by, laid hands on her, according to Mark 16, and said, I want you to praise God that you're healed. And she makes this statement. She told him that she wasn't healed. Richie told her to thank God for the word and to say the word says, I am healed. Now think about this. So she began to do that. And soon she got so taken up with praising God that she didn't even know when all this lady had severe asthma attacks. She didn't know when the asthma attacks left her. When she related this, it had been more than 14 years since she'd had any symptoms. So in other words, and if you read through this whole story, she had gone to several different ministers to have them pray for her. And we talked about this earlier at the beginning. So if you can backtrack and connect these two. And nothing had changed in her body. So she gets to this gentleman's meeting. He knows enough about laying on of hands and faith in the Word of God to be able to guide her in a direction that will get her to freedom no matter what. Okay? So he lays hands on her and says, now praise God that you're healed. And she looks at him and says, well, I don't feel healed. And Raymond T. Ritchie had enough sense, which is good sense, to look at her and say, praise God for His Word then. You say, what do you mean by that? That is faith. Why? Because you're not going by what you feel. You're going by what He said. And you can always praise God for His Word.
That's right.
Always. Yeah, but you don't feel it. I know. Praise God. My anxiety is gone. How do you know? Because he has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now listen, guys, and I've said this over and over, but I'm going to say it again. That is the bulk of spiritual warfare right there. It is not needing to be tied up in prayer for hours on end rebuking the devil. The bulk of it is, thus saith the Lord. The word of God says, it is written on a daily basis as you're going through your day. When your kids come up to you and go, I wanted this, and they say to you, we don't have the money to do it. You always say we don't have any money, or, oh, you always say this, or you always say that. You need to look at them and say, the word of God says he supplies all our need according to his riches and glory. And let me help you out with something when it comes to God. He doesn't need your money. And he doesn't even need money to get what you want to you. He does not need money. He'll just move the universe. You think about the battle in the Old Testament? I mean, the Old Testament people sometimes, I think, have more faith than we do. You think about Joshua in battle and the sun stops? We got to beat him today, Lord. Day's almost over. We'll just stop the sun. The sun stops. You know, they've looked back scientifically and they think they found a day where the sun stops. Yeah, but, you know, scientifically speaking, if the sun stopped, everything would shift in the universe. The temperatures would shift. We would have all these problems. No, God doesn't care. He just goes, stop. Temperatures stay the same. Everything stayed the same. Okay, Lord, we've won the battle. My people have won the battle. Sun on. Start spinning again. Why? He's God. He's God. And he's your dad. his mind slips me right now. Or his mind. His name slips my mind right now. He traveled with A.A. Allen. He just went home to be with the Lord a while back. R.W. Shambaugh. That's who it is. He used to say, you don't have any problems. You just need faith in God. You don't have any problems. You just need faith in God. How big is the problem compared to your God? Oh, magnify the problem with me. Let's look at it. It's terrible. Look how big the problem is. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And when you do that, okay, the problem's not that big. It's a mountain. It's going to go in the sea. So it had been 14 years since she had had an asthma attack. Awesome. Number 7. Make every prayer a statement of faith. I've already been kind of doing this through this. Make every prayer a statement of faith. Receiving answered prayer. Step number 7 to receiving answered prayer is make every prayer relative to what you've asked a statement of faith instead of unbelief. You can think and say words of faith just as easily as you can think and say words of doubt and unbelief. It is thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words that leads the heart out of defeat and into victory. Speaking about the prayer of faith, Smith Wigglesworth once said, if you pray 7 times for any one thing, now listen to me carefully. This is specifically the prayer of faith. Okay? We have to make sure that we distinctly know what he's talking about, otherwise you can mess some things up. The prayer of faith is a one-time prayer. Okay? The prayer of faith is a one-time prayer. You say, what do you mean by that? Go read Mark 11, 23, and 24. Okay? The prayer of faith. Now, there are 2 things of faith going on there in Mark 11, 23, and 24. There is the prayer of faith that's mentioned, but there's also the speaking of faith that is mentioned. And they're 2 separate things. And you have to go look at it and read it to see. Okay? So he said this. Smith Wigglesworth said this. If you pray 7 times for any one thing, you prayed 6 times in unbelief. That's it. I can feel mine going, what? Go read Mark 11, 23 and 24. Smith Wigglesworth was a smart, not a very educated man, but he was a smart faith man. If you ever want to read some good, just wild revival testimonies, read Smith Wigglesworth's stuff. He raised 23 people from the dead. Sometimes in the middle of funerals. He had, in fact, he had so many healings in his ministry that the medical field was going to make him pay a fine for practicing medicine without a license. In other words, they were losing money. That's what that boils down to. And so in his meeting that night, I've read this, but Mark was telling me about it too. He just had the people raise their hands. He just lifted up his hands, right?
I actually talked to a lady who was there. She traveled with me. She was a very young girl. She was telling me this, what she saw. She said, people, you could hear bones snapping in place. People crying out that they could see, that they could hear, that they could walk. And he never touched a person.
Yeah. Because the reality is, it has nothing to do with Smith Wigglesworth's hands. Or yours. Or mine. It has to do with God. And just because you don't see him here doesn't mean he's not here. Because he promised. Whatever, two or three. One, two, three. Okay, we're good. There he is in the midst. And I don't know if you've noticed in the Gospels, but where Jesus was and sickness was, it changed quickly. He just took care of it. God's not dead. It's not just a movie. Or two of them. He's not dead. He's still alive. Still working. Okay? So, Andrew Murray said this. It's not good taste to ask God for the same thing over and over again. Andrew Murray also said that if what you've prayed for hasn't materialized, and you do pray again, don't pray for it again in the same way, because that would be unbelief. He said to remind God that you asked for it and remind him of what his word says. Put him in remembrance of his promises. Tell him that you're expecting it and thank him for it. Isaiah 43:26 talks about reminding God of his promises.
Yeah.
So you don't need to pray about it again. And if you do go to talk to the Lord about it, say, Lord, I prayed about this. You heard me. I know you did. So I'm just reminding you of your promises like you told me to in Isaiah 43:26. And when you do that, what's happening is you're obeying God and you're in faith. And when you're in faith, you just draw close to God. Because you're expecting. And you're thanking him for things. And people go, well, it's been a long time. I know. Time tries trust. But also, I can put it to you another way. You would recognize this. It is through what? Faith and... that you inherit the promises of God. Faith in what? Patience. Which the word is actually endurance. Endure. And people are like, I don't want to endure anymore. You know, have you ever ran a long distance? Have you ever pushed yourself to the limit or had a coach that would push you to the limit and you didn't think you could do it, but they kept pushing you and you did it? God will test your endurance. Why? It doesn't benefit God. It benefits you. Because it's just like, man, I wish I had time to go through what the Lord has brought me through till the point of planting the church. If I had not gone through what I went through, I would never have done this. And I went through situations where you cannot pay me enough to go back. But I'll say this, there's not enough pay for what I learned. Why? What did it do? It stretched me on the inside. And when you get strong on the inside, the enemy will walk by you and go, nah, don't bother. It's true. You say, what do you mean by that? You remember where Jesus was in the wilderness and he wore the devil out. Because the Bible says he left him for a season. How many would like a season with no devil? I have never put those two together before. Thank you, Lord. Do what Jesus did. Respond with the word. You can just go seasons without the devil. Now, I'm not telling you he's not going to do things, because he will. It's a promise in the Bible. It's not one on everybody's fridge, but it is in there. Okay? Or I'd just like to remind you of your word, that in this life I will have trouble. No, we don't do that. We just know it's there, but we stand on, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world.
That's right.
Okay? It's just the truth. And it's good that we can laugh about it. Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Listen to this while you're turning. Thanking and praising God in the promise of God before you feel or see the answer is faith. God's promise is just as sure a foundation as having the answer in your hand. God's promise is just as secure as when you have the answer in your hand. You're talking about God. You can't get any more sure of an answer than his word. Why? Okay, so God's promise is just as sure a foundation as having the answer in your hand. Why? Because it is God who promised. There is no safer place to put your trust than the word of God, because it is backed by God. It's like money in the bank. I'm going to write a check. How do you know it's going to go through? I got money in the bank. Well, how do you know that promise, that God will make good on that promise? He's got money in the bank. He's got it. He's got the ability. He's got the love. He's got the temperament. He's got the father nature. Come on, think about this. Jesus looked at the religious leaders of his day and looked at them and said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto men, how much more your Father in heaven, who what? Has no evil in him at all. In other words, these evil men who are not born again, God's just not calling them, Jesus is not just calling them names. He's saying your nature needs to change, boy. And he's telling the religious leaders of his day, which is offensive to them because they thought they had it together. But he was really nice to them. He said, you're a bunch of whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. You bunch of snakes and vipers. You hypocrites. That's what he told the religious people of his day. Sometimes I think if Jesus showed up and preached in our services, half or more of the congregation would go, I can't believe he said that to me. And the other third would go, you're right, Lord. And carpet. Yeah. Like, just help me, okay? But he said, you being evil know how to give good gifts. In other words, you think you're better than God? What is he saying? You don't know God. How much do you want to do for your kids? God wants to do more. Well, how come I haven't seen it? Put your trust in him. Maybe you haven't expected it because you didn't know that. Expect it. That's what gives him access to you. Romans 4, verse number 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Notice who is our father. Abraham, who is the father of what? Faith. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. What does God do? He calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Let me put it to you like this. Just because you don't see it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just because you don't feel the substance of heaven, or see heaven with your eyes, doesn't mean that that substance isn't real. It's real. You say, well, how do we tap into it? By faith. What am I tapping into? Something that you can't see, hear, feel, taste, touch with your five senses, but what you can touch with your heart. Because you can touch God with your heart. You can do it. You can do it. So he says this, who contrary to hope, I love this verse. Man, if you ever want to just get a hold of faith, read about Abraham and Sarah. Okay? I mean, they went through the whole gamut. God promises Sarah she'll have a kid. What does she do? She laughs. She laughs. Not like, oh, yes, Lord. Like, you've got to be kidding me. When I read about the disciples and the Old Testament guys, I'm like, there's hope for me. You know what I mean? There's so much hope for me. And let me think about this. The disciples, Jesus dies, is raised from the dead. Two women see him. They come back and say, Jesus is alive. All the disciples are like, amen. No. They looked at him and said, no, he's not. Yeah. They didn't even believe. They're his believers. They're supposed to be believing. They're supposed to be believing God. These are the men of faith, the apostles of the Lamb, the original 11 at that point. They got another one later. But Judas made that decision. So you understand what I'm saying? These are the faith guys that saw entire cities healed. And they chose not to believe. But then they chose to believe. I mean, there's hope for you and me. So he said, verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. You ever wonder what that means? Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. It just sounds like, you ever read something in the Bible, you just go, huh? Don't be satisfied with huh? Go dig and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. What was he saying here? What he's saying is, when all hope in the natural was non-existent, I hoped in the promise of God. In contrary to hope, in contrary to expectation from the natural, in hope believe. I guess I'll turn to the promise. And the natural will go, look over here, look over here. And you go, nope, promise. Because this hope is going to change that hope. But weak people will just stay in this place. But strong people like you and me will stay in the promise. And when you stay in the promise, that over here changes. Why? Because you're just amazing. No, because God now has an avenue to get into your situation. Well, how are these things going to change? Contrary to hope, in hope, I will believe. I will not let go. You cannot make me quit. I will not roll over. I will not give in to what the world says. I will rest in these promises. I will roll in these promises. I will bathe in these promises. In the Word of God, I will dive and drown in them and let this go over here. Why? Because if Abraham did it, if Paul did it, if Peter did it, they're just men. Like you and me. And God, God is no respecter of persons. He'll dive into the middle of the situation of any person that says, well, Lord, this is what this says, but I'm hoping here. But nobody ever comes out of, no, talk to me about nobody ever comes out of, because I don't care what anybody else did. God said, and God will. I will eat the good of the land. I will eat it. So he says this, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, look at this, he did not consider what? His own body. Okay, let's reverse it just a little bit. Okay, now think about this. What would make him weak in faith if he considered his own body? In other words, if he put his hope in the natural, he would have been weak in faith. But he didn't do that. He'd look at his body and his body would say, you have this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. And he'd say, no, don't talk to me. The promise of God is, I will be the father of many nations. And he wouldn't just say Abram, he'd go, Abraham, 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 Abraham. You say, why would he say that? Because it means father of many nations. They changed their names. They're childless. They have slaves galore. And one day they all came out and got all their employees together and said, I'm no longer Abram, and this is no longer Sarai. My name is now Abraham, and my wife is Sarah. And the people, see, we look at that and we go, oh yeah, Sean, George, Bob, Tom. But you don't understand what's going on here, because in that day, names meant what they were. They were signed by a thought, a way, a belief. So what does he mean? Father of many nations? All the slaves, are, you could probably hear it like, what? Have you seen how old they are? I know, they're old, they've lost it. Just go along with it. Yes, sir, Mr. Abraham. Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. And while they're tending to the sheep and stuff, they're, oh man, father of many nations, moving the sheep around. You got to be kidding me. Let them mock. Let them mock when people share your dream about what God's put in your heart. Let them mock. Let them. And when God moves, they'll come repent and they'll join the team. Yep. Because Abraham, father of many, can you imagine Sarah's in the kitchen? Abraham! Abraham! What is she saying? Father of many nations. His body's as good as dead. I'm just reading what the Bible says. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness, and he didn't consider what? The deadness of whose womb? Sarah's womb. She's not 100, but she's not, 60. She's in her 80s, and even if she was 60, hello, moms, eventually, bodies go through the change of life, right? There comes a point in a woman's life where she can't have kids no more, just by the natural course of things. It was no different then. Can you imagine if Abraham and Sarah went to the doctor? We're here for what? A checkup. Abraham's 100. Walking in there, Sarah, toting along behind him. You're going to have a what? We're going to have a kid. Verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't what? Waver. You know what that word waver is? Double. Double. You ever read James? Talking about being tossed up and down by the waves of the sea. One description says, you don't stagger around like a drunk man at the promise of God, saying yes, yes, and no, no. In other words, you look at the promise, you consider one thing, and you go that way. And then it says this, but he was strengthened in faith. How? Giving glory to God. Yeah, but he hadn't seen the promise yet. I know. He ignored all that stuff and just gave glory to God. Glory to God. He said, how does that work? Easy. Glory to God. Well, how's this going to work out? My God causes everything to work out for my good and His glory. What are you going to do? Give glory to God. He supplies all my need according to His riches and glory. Glory to God. How are you going to make it through this? My God is a way maker. Glory to God. He's going to make it. We're going to make it right through. How are you going to? You ever notice the devil? He is good at this. But this has got to be done, and this has got to be done. And how is this going to be done? And you need to say, glory to God, I consider this and not this. And sometimes you just got to turn the worship music on so loud you can't hear anything else. I do it. Do it. And just go that way. It's never too late. You're not 100. You're not 100 yet. It ain't over. There's still time. If you had one more day left, I'd spend that whole day believing God.
Amen.
Glory to God. How are you going to get through this? Glory to God. I give glory to God. People say, that sounds weird when you... I know it's just because you're not used to it. But we're to praise the Lord continually. Continually. Just get used to it. Your kids will look at you. What's wrong with you? Nothing. We're going to make it through. But you're teaching them faith. Last night, I'll close with this. You guys are listening so well, I didn't want to stop. I appreciate it.
Glory to God.
Yeah, glory to God. I mean, we're going to be a glory to God church.
Glory to God.
Yeah, glory to God. Hey, glory to God.
Glory.
We just do glory.
Glory.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. I know it makes faith. Glory. Last night, Taylor, she was studying for a test, and she was starting to let it overcome her that she wasn't going to be able to do this. And I looked at her and said, Taylor, don't do it. Don't give in to that emotion. I said, you're going to beat this thing, you're going to study for this thing, and you're going to do fine. Why? I'm teaching her to believe that she can. Why? Because I ain't going to be around forever. How's she going to fulfill the plan of God with her for her life? The call of God on her, am I going to hold her hand the rest of her life? No. She's going to hold God's hand. And go do it. Be strong and do exploits. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. We're done.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.